ശ്രീ കൃഷ്ണപ്രേംസ് വിസിറ്റ് ടു ശ്രീ രമണ മഹർഷി പാർട്ട് 4 ബൈ എസ് ചക്രവർത്തി. വി കണ്ടിന്യൂ വിത്ത് ദി സ്റ്റോറി ടോൾഡ് ബൈ ദി ഡിവോട്ടി ഓഫ് ഭഗവാൻ ഹു അറേഞ്ച്ഡ് ഫോർ ദി സൗത്ത് ഇന്ത്യൻ ടൂർ ഓഫ് ശ്രീ കൃഷ്ണപ്രേം, ഹു ഈസ് കോൾഡ് ഗോപാൽഡാ ഇൻ ദിസ് നറേഷൻ. ആഫ്റ്റർ ലീവിംഗ് ശ്രീ രമണാശ്രമം ആൻഡ് വിസിറ്റിംഗ് പോണ്ടിച്ചേരി, ദ ട്രെയിൻ സെറ്റ്സ് ഔട്ട് ഫോർ മധുര. ഇറ്റ് അപ്പിയേഴ്സ് വെർഎവർ ദി ട്രാവൽ some reference to the Maharishi is made, perhaps because he was known to have taken much interest in Sri Krishna Prem and his South Indian tour. The guard blew his whistle and waved the green flag, and the train from Pondicherry started with a groan. Just at that very moment, the train from Thiruvannamalai arrived, and Balaram Reddy ran across the platform and boarded the departing train. Late that night, we reached the house of Ramana's devotees at Srirangam. They were happy to get the chance to be of some service to Gopalda. Next morning, Gopalda, Upadhyaya and I went to the temple. It was a bit early and no devotees had yet arrived. The door of the inner temple was closed and a solitary person was playing the veena before the closed door. We three sat on the opposite side, with Gopalda in the middle. Gopalda's eyes were closed. It really was a wonderful atmosphere. Within a few minutes, we noticed that Gopalda's body was oscillating like the pendulum of a wall clock. When this oscillating or swinging motion became more pronounced, I started feeling rather uncomfortable. I passed my hand round the back of Gopalda's swinging body and poked my finger at Upadhyaya to draw his attention to what was happening. He was aware of it too. Then the door of the temple was opened. Gopalda could hardly walk those few steps to reach the door. Upadhyaya and I were on either side of him when the unexpected thing happened. Gopalda's body just collapsed and fell with a terrible bang on the raised stone platform, similar to a window lintel. This raised stone structure, chaukat in Bengali, was covered with thin brass plates embossed with flower design. The Prohit and other devotees all cried out in horror. The Prohit said that if the blood of such Mahatma were spilled, it would bring about a great disaster. Thank God, Gopalda was unhurt. Upadhyaya and I supported Gopalda and dragged him back, holding him up because he could not stand. After resting for a while, he regained his normal physical powers and we made our way to our temporary residence. I will set down here what Gopalda told me afterwards. At first, he saw that there was nothing, absolutely nothing, and that void was filled with utter, total darkness. Then a tiny lotus sprouted in the midst of that complete nothingness, the first sign of manifestation. That tiny lotus started growing bigger and bigger and still bigger. It went on growing until it covered the empty void completely. Right at the middle of the gigantic lotus, there appeared the dual images, life size, of Sri Radha and Sri Krishna. They stood motionless with a smile on their faces, and on each of those hundreds of thousands of petals, the dual figures of Radha and Krishna appeared, but smaller and rotating and dancing endlessly. At Gopalda's behest, I later narrated this account to Ramana Maharishi. Ramana observed, his experience was correct. What he saw depicts the twofold phenomenon of the eternal, motionless, unchangeable, and the play or leela with manifestation. Then the Maharishi told me that on that particular day when Gopalda was present, the puja at Srirangam had been done with the sankalpa, literally a resolve, of depicting how manifestation arose out of the unmanifest, a sort of Vishwarupa Darshan. Of course, he concluded his remarks with, was this experience independent of or outside his Atmasatta? I admit, I was extremely curious to find out with what Sankalpa the puja had been conducted on that particular morning. So I wrote to our erstwhile host at Srirangam and requested him to inquire and ascertain the truth or otherwise of the above statement. In due course, the reply came that what the Maharishi said was literally correct. Fool that I was, I had not accepted his words outright. So we took leave of our host and his family and boarded a train for the second leg of our pilgrimage, namely to Madurai, where stands Meenakshi Devi's temple. Our numbers had swelled from 3 to 5 by the addition of Asher Boy from Pondicherry and Balaram Reddy from Vilupuram Junction. I had no inkling of what awaited us at Madurai, nor, of course, could the other three friends and fellow travellers have guessed anything beforehand. How about Gopalda? I don't know and can't say. From the point of view of spiritual experience, Gopalda's trip to Madurai and Rameshwaram does not claim any special consideration. In due course, Gopalda had Meenakshi Devi's darshan. There was no crowd. Gopalda prostrated himself before the Murthy in the dusty hall, and that was all that happened. But from another angle of vision, this trip to Madurai and Rameshwaram undoubtedly supplied two very important cogs, without which the gorgeous wheel would have lost much of its grandeur and amazement. One fine morning found the five of us stranded on the station platform at Madurai. The person who had been contacted by the Ramanashramam authorities and asked to meet us at the station and take us to the house where Maharishi had had his realization was not there. After some time of waiting, it became clear that we would have to fend for ourselves. At first, it was suggested that we take shelter in the station waiting room while Balarama went to the house to ascertain the situation. But Asher Boy told Gopalda that instead of waiting at the station, we should take our rest at the home of a friend he had in the town. He also pointed out that we could take our bath and meal there and then plan our next move when Balarama got back from his mission. Balarama seemed not to be in favor of this decision but gave in when Gopalda accepted. So we were duly taken to his friend and had our bath. Meanwhile, Balarama returned from his investigation and informed us that the caretaker had gone away to his home and the house was locked and chained. However, we were taken to the house and saw the large photograph of Sri Maharishi through the slats of the front door. It is interesting to note that from this point on, it was Asher Bhai who acted as our doyen. He arranged our travelling routine, where we would stay and with whom. And last but not least, he also got Gopalda's permission to pay our railway fares, etc., until we returned to Pondicherry. At this point, I must mention that Gopalda here informed us that his stomach was upset, but he refused to consult any doctor. Seemingly, it was not all that serious. In due time, therefore, we set off on the third and last leg of our southern trip, Rameshwaram. When we reached Rameshwaram station, we proceeded with our bundles and bags to the Dharmashala that was run by a Gujarati friend of Asher Bhai. Gopalda said he would go straight to the temple. Balarama also went ahead to meet the temple authorities to obtain permission for Gopalda to enter the inner sanctum of the temple. Gopalda was a Westerner, and under normal circumstances, that was never allowed. Gopalda, Upadhyaya and I set off for the temple. I thought we would probably never see the lingam since the temple corridor we had to negotiate appeared to be endless, I personally found it difficult to keep pace with Gopal Das' rapid steps. He appeared to be in a hurry. At long last, we reached the Sanctum Sanctorum. I don't think I expected anything out of the ordinary to happen, but I was wrong. What had happened could be described as another near miracle. The door of the wooden structure enclosing the lingam was open. Not a soul was inside. Gopal Das dashed inside and hurriedly removed the flowers, leaves, etc., covering the top of the lingam, merged in water. He fished out two small pails of water and poured them on the lingam. One of them, I know, contained sacred water from the holy spring at Badrinath, collected by Motirani 3 years earlier and kept for this purpose. Upadhyaya followed suit, and I believe I rubbed my hand on the exposed top of the lingam. I don't remember properly. I was moving in a sort of haze. How very, very happy Gopal Das looked. And then came the pathos. We had walked only a few steps from the inner sanctum and were wondering what to do next when along came Balarama and the temple authorities. After the formal introductions and salutations were over, the administrators cleared their throats and started saying something. Actually, they stuttered and stammered. One could feel sorry for them, for they were obviously unhappy. They started saying, "Sir, you must forgive us. We just don't know how to mention that. You will realize," and so on. Gopal Das waited patiently. Then he put them at ease by saying, "Please don't hesitate to say what you must say." So eventually these unhappy persons blurted out their old religious superstitions, dogma. "Oh, how can a Yavana foreigner be allowed to set his eyes upon God, much less touch him?" Gopal Das again rose to the occasion. Once again, he put those people to shame by assuring them they were quite right. Next, they invited Gopal Das to come and have a look at the God's treasure house, the jewelry, gold nuggets, and whatnot. Gopal Das again put them at their ease by expressing his gratitude, but declined the offer. Then they requested Gopal Das to wait for a little so that the chariot drawn by many bulls could be made ready and he could pass through the town in ceremony. Gopal Das refused politely by saying that he was a poor Vaishnava and that he preferred to walk. The farce came to an end. Later, when I told Balarama what had happened in the Sanctum Sanctorum, he was suitably amazed. And much later still, when I came to recount this episode to the Maharishi, he appeared to enjoy it heartily. He said, "That is just like the Lord. First, he gives you darshan and then later says you can't have it." When he left the temple, Gopal Das said he would like to have a dip in the back bay. And when he reached the seashore, he plunged into the water and kept swimming. There was no denying that he was thoroughly happy swimming. He continued.